is admiration, there is love, there is a kind of aspiration to become identical with the object for whom you are enthusiastic. What do you see so as to become like that? You and I see the same object, and you are enthusiastic, I am not. What is the difference between you and me? You are perceiving something which I am not perceiving. What is it that you are perceiving? What is the light that you are perceiving? That state is the state of illumined mind. When you see the whole world with that consciousness, in which there is a special kind of enthusiasm, the mind of illumined mind, the man who is filled with illumined mind, he is normally an enthusiastic man. He has enthusiasm for everything in the world. His enthusiasm knows no bounds. He perceives something in the world . Now this perception, this sight is usually connected with sun. Actually every sight is connected with sun. Even my physical perception of a flower is a kind of a sun along with it, which I do not know, normally I don't perceive. But there is always a kind of interconnection between sound, vision, color, idea. There is a kind of interconnection. That is why you have the birth of arts. All arts are connected with sights, sounds, colors, ideas. Poetry is an art of ideas. Or the highest literature, highest philosophy, is an art of ideas. Sights and colors combined together are all kinds of fine arts, painting, sculpture, architecture. Of sound is the music. All different kinds of arts are somehow connected with these ideas, sounds, colors, vibrations of various kinds. And the difference between one artist and the other is this. What is the quality of the sound that one hears? Not a physical sound, but there are sounds. Why is one poem better than the other? Because the sound of one poem is better than the sound of another poem. The rhythm of one poem is better than the rhythm of another poem. The combination of sounds in words which are put together in some poems are so powerful that the moment you hear them, your inner sound begins to vibrate immediately. Ideas may be the same idea is expressed in two poems. And yet one poem has expressed that idea in such a combination of sounds that the moment you hear, and when these sounds or these sights or these colors are put together in a certain measure in what we call inevitable connections, then you create greatest pieces of architecture or music or dance or
all arts.
An artist is one who perceives these connections of sounds or vibrations of various kinds. You can be also an artist of life. Not necessarily a musician or anything, but some of the great leaders of mankind are artists of life. They know how to connect relationships, human relationships. To connect human with the divine is also connection. And to relate divine and human properly, rightly, inevitably, when you can do this, you must have perceptions of that kind. You must perceive man, you must perceive the divine. There must be that light, that vibration. Great mystics are those who can relate themselves with God and relate themselves with others in the light of God. They are great artists of life. Christ might not have written a book or a poem or not composed any music or drawn any picture, but the relationship that he had with God, the inevitability of that relationship that existed in his life and with his fellow beings, it's a tremendous art of life. Buddha, the way in which he wrote no book at all, he composed no music in his life, drew no picture in his life. One of the greatest artists of life, as Sri Aurobindo says, is the greatest personality who ever walked on the earth. So as you rise higher and higher, I am only talking at present of illumined mind, but ultimately, as you rise higher and higher, these vibrations become more and more powerful, more and more luminous. Sri Aurobindo, while explaining, he has given the examples of some of the poems of Wordsworth, Shelley, Keats, Kalidas, Vyasa. If you see their expressions, the mode of expression, the way in which certain things are expressed, they bring to you the messages, as it were, from the unknown. And they become lit up in your mind. The moment you hear those words, the mind becomes illumined. You understand it. A man may smile and yet be wicked. One sentence in Hamlet, very short sentence. A man may smile and yet be wicked. The brevity, the force, the content of it, the experience involved in it, so packed. It's a great perception. You can't easily write a sentence like this. Next time we shall read some of the poems of this kind, some examples that Sri Aurobindo himself has given. How ultimately you get what is called mantric poetry. A mantra arises from the experience of the illumined mind, intuitive mind, overmind, supermind. Vibrations coming down from there. As the Rig Veda says about the Rishi, Rishi says, I go into the profundities of Yoma, supreme ether of existence, and there I hear the words, sounds, And these sounds, as they come down, they are clothed in words in my heart. And they are uttered. Rishi himself explains. This is the birth of that mantric poetry. Every verse of Rig Veda is born from these levels of consciousness. Therefore, Sri Aurobindo says the supreme poets in the history of the world are Vedic poets. They have brought down the sounds which vibrate in these realms, the inaudible sounds, inaudible to us. When you enter there, you hear the sounds, like Beethoven, for example. Why do we hear Beethoven? What is the magic in it? The combination of sounds, the inevitable connections of the sounds, the cosmicity of the sounds, and the arrangement of these sounds, the flow of the sounds. So at times when you come to a climax, as if you live in the whole universe at the same time. Such a climax is reached. Unless the poet has heard, the musician has heard those sounds, how can he reproduce here? These are some of the glimpses we get of these higher planes of consciousness. And many of these people are not even yogis. If you just enter into certain planes of consciousness, you begin to vibrate. Shakespeare was not a yogi in that sense, in the sense in which you use the word yogi. Although we should use that word yogi for him also. Anyone who makes a tremendous effort to break the limitations of our ordinary mind and begins to perceive the imperceptible, hear the inaudible, Shruti and Drishti, these are the two marks of the Rishi in the Veda. One who has Drishti and one who has Shruti. One who hears and one who sees. One who sees the invisible and hears the inaudible and brings those sounds and those sights here. These are the experiences belonging to these higher planes. I think we shall stop here today, and next time we shall enter into a more difficult stage than what was today. Today it was much simpler, and there our recourse will be only to read what Sri Aurobindo has written directly, so that we enter into those realms ourselves. All right.